Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Grown Ups Read Princess Stories, the podcast where grown-ups from around the world read stories about princesses, be them true stories or fairy tales. But this season, as I said in the last episode, is going to be all about the Brothers Grimm, and I'm going to be the one reading the stories for you while we get people from around the world to record the stories for season 5. So, what story will I be reading for all of you today? It is called The 12 Brothers. And so, without further ado, this is the Brothers Grimm story, The 12 Brothers. Once upon a time, a king and a queen lived together peacefully and had 12 children, all boys. I bet that was really great for them. One day the king said to his wife, "When you give birth to our 13th child, and it's a girl, the 12 boys shall die." What? Whoa. Oh boy, we're getting into it quick on this one, aren't we? "So she may have all the wealth and the kingdom for herself." I mean, yeah, sure, why not? Okay. He even had 12 coffins made. What? And filled with wooden shavings. Okay. Each was fitted with a death pillow. Well, at least he gave him a pillow. And all the coffins were locked in a room. I don't know why he needs to lock them in a room, but sure. The king gave the key to the queen and ordered her to never say one word about this to anyone. Oh, that's why he locked it. She then sat and lamented the entire day. That means like she, you know, fretted or was concerned or, you know, was like, I'm thinking about this thing, if you need to know what that means. Where was I? Ah, yes. Her youngest son, Benjamin, nice name, whose name she had taken from the Bible, was always with her. And he asked, "Dear mother, why are you so sad?" I'm just going to guess that's what he sounds like. "Dearest child," she replied, "I am not allowed to tell you." But he gave her no peace until she opened the room and showed him the 12 coffins already filled with wood shavings. She then said, "My dearest Benjamin, your father had these coffins made for you and your 11 brothers. If I give birth to a girl, all of you shall be killed and buried in them." That's probably some crazy news to hear. Imagine that. Imagine. Yeah. As she was telling him this, she wept, and her son consoled her by saying, "Don't weep, my dear mother. We'll find a way to help ourselves and get away from here." Then she said, "Go into the forest with your 11 brothers. I want you to find the tallest tree and take turns sitting on top." Yeah, that's going to solve the problem. "You're to keep watch and look towards the castle tower." Oh, that way they can see the tower. "If I give birth to a little boy, I'll raise a white flag, and then you'll be able to return. If I give birth to a little girl, I'll raise a red flag, and then you're to flee as fast as you can. And may the good Lord protect you. I'll get up every night and pray you'll be able to warm yourselves by a fire in the winter, that you don't suffer from the heat during the summer." Well, at least she's praying. After she gave her blessing to her sons, they went out into the forest where they took turns keeping watch. Each one sat on top of the tallest oak tree and looked towards the tower. Then 11 days had passed, and it was Benjamin's turn. He saw a flag being raised. However, it was not a white one, but a blood-red flag announcing that they were to die. When the brothers heard that, they became angry and said, "Why should we suffer death because of a girl? We swear we'll get our revenge. Wherever we find a girl, her red blood should flow." Whoa! Let's time out right here, folks, because that is not the answer to this. This is not the answer. Okay? You don't take it out on somebody who did nothing to you. That makes no sense. That's gobbledygook. That's the problem with society today. Hey, that person did something terrible to me. You know what I'm going to do? Take it out on somebody else. Or maybe have a bloody conversation with your father. You didn't have such toxic masculinity in the world. Maybe this wouldn't be a... Anyway, let's just continue the story, shall we? Then they went deeper into the forest, where it was darkest. There they found an empty little cottage, which was bewitched. Naturally, all cottages are. Duh. "We shall dwell here," they said. "And you, Benjamin, since you're the youngest and weakest, shall stay home and keep house." Oh, great. More toxic masculinity. Super awesome. "We others shall go out and search for food." Yeah, because they're manly men and that's what men do. Great. Awesome. Good for you. So they went off into the forest and shot hares, wild deer, birds, little pigeons. God, how many other animals are they going to list in here? Oh, that was it. And whatever was fit to eat. They brought this to Benjamin, who had to prepare it nicely for them so they could still their hunger. Oh, man. Just... This Benjamin should just leave them, let's be honest. They lived together for 10 years. Oh, man, that's going to be terrible for that person. In this little cottage, and the time passed quickly for them. Yeah, sure, it passed quickly. My behind. Meanwhile, the daughter that their mother, the queen, had brought into the world, had grown to be a little girl. First off, okay, let's just stop here. Did no one question that these, 12 men, these boys left? No one question it at all. No one give a toot what's going on with them. They just moved on with their, yeah, okay. The king, did he question it? He was like, yeah, I was going to kill my sons. Where'd they go? And they go, I guess they took care of it. Oh, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, at least I got my daughter. Blah, 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 blah. Just moves on with his life like a big old dummy. Okay, where were we? Let's go back. Meanwhile, the daughter that their mother, the queen, had brought into the world had grown to be a little girl. Obviously, 10 years went by. She had a kind heart. That's good. And beautiful features, of course. And a gold star on her forehead. Sure, yeah, and whatever floats your boat. One time, when there was a great deal of washing to do, she saw 12 boys' shirts among the things to be washed, and asked her mother, "Whose shirts are these?" "They're much too small for father." Her mother answered her with a heavy heart, "Dear child, they belong to your 12 brothers." "Where are my 12 brothers?" the girl asked. "I've never heard of them until now." Of course. "Only God knows where they are." Yeah, great answer. She answered, "They're wandering around somewhere in the world." What a great mom, hey? "They're wandering around somewhere in the world." Top-notch work on her part. Ugh. She took the girl, opened the death pillows. Oh, God, this is just getting weirder. "These coffins are destined for your brothers," she said. "But the boys departed secretly before you were born." And then she told her everything that had happened. "Dear mother," the girl said, "don't weep. I'm going to look for my brothers." Why? All right, anyway. So she took the 12 shirts and went, why is she even taking the shirts? Makes no sense. Went straight into the great forest. She walked the whole day. You know what's also funny is she walks in the right direction. What if she went the wrong direction? Have you ever heard a fairy tale where somebody goes, "I'm going on this journey and I will meet these people. Goodbye, everyone." And then they go south rather than north. I mean, they just never connect with the people they were supposed to connect with. I want that story one day. Anyway, she took the 12 shirts and went straight into the great forest. She walked the whole day, and by evening she came to the bewitched cottage. So these guys weren't even that far away. Ugh, they're obviously just a couple kilometers and miles up. Hiding in a... Yeah, okay. When she entered, she found a young boy who asked, Where have you come from, and where are you going? He was astonished by her beauty, her royal garments, and the star on her forehead. I'm a princess, she responded, and I'm looking for my 12 brothers. I'm prepared to continue walking as far as the sky is blue until I find them. She showed him the 12 shirts. Why? Cool. Just, also I have these 12 shirts. They don't connect to anything, but here they are. She showed him the 12 shirts, and Benjamin realized she was his sister. Bum, bum, bum! We'll be back on the next episode. Anyway. I'm Benjamin, he said, your youngest brother. She began to cry with joy, and they kissed. No, I guess that's okay. And lovingly hugged each other. Yeah, I mean, you know, siblings kiss. Not like, you know. But, you know, like a parent goodnight or something. Yeah, that makes sense. But then he said, dear sister, there's still a problem. We agreed that any maiden who came our way would have to die, for we had to leave our kingdom on account of a girl. He should have added, and that makes no sense, and we're big old dummies. I'll gladly die, she said. Ugh. That's stupid. If I can save my 12 brothers by doing this. Nope, that's backwards. Shouldn't do that. Anyway, well, I'm glad the next sentence makes sense. No, he responded. Good, yeah, that makes... Exactly. You shall not die. Sit down under this tub and wait until our 11 brothers are back then. Then I'll settle everything with them. She did, as he said. And when it was night, the others came back from the hunt and found their meal ready. After they sat down at the table and began eating, they asked, what's new? You don't know, Benjamin said. No, they replied. You're in the forest the whole day, he continued, while I stay at home, yet I still know more than you. Then tell us, they cried out. Only if you promise me that the first girl we meet shall not be killed, he said. So at this point, they've never met another woman. At all. That's hilarious. Yes, they exclaimed. Now tell us. That was easy. Our sister is here, he said. Ta-da! Yeah. He lifted up the tub, and the princess came crawling out in her royal garments. She had the gold star on her forehead and was very beautiful, gentle, and delicate. Weird way to describe her, but okay. In their joy, they embraced and kissed her, you know, like siblings. And they loved her with all their hearts. Now she stayed at home with Benjamin and helped him with the work. How quick they turned, hey? Well, we're gonna kill women. Your sister's here. Well, oh, cool, I like women now. Now she stayed at home with Benjamin and helped him with the work. The 11 brothers went into the forest, caught wild game, deer, birds, pigeons, blah, 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 so they would have something to eat, obviously. And their sister and Benjamin made sure that their meals were prepared. They fetched the wood for cooking, herbs to go along with the vegetables, put the pots on the fire so dinner was always ready when the 11 brothers came home. Moreover, they kept the little cottage in order and put nice, clean, white sheets on the little beds. All this kept the brothers satisfied, and they lived with her in great harmony. One day, the two at home had prepared a wonderful meal, and when they were all together, they sat down, ate, drank, and were full of joy. Now there was a small garden next to the bewitched cottage, and in it were 12 lilies, also called students. Since she wanted to please her brothers, the sister plucked the 12 flowers with the intention of giving one to each brother at the end of the meal. But right after she had plucked the flowers, the 12 brothers were instantly changed into 12 ravens and flew away over the forest. Yeah, that adds up. While the cottage and the garden vanished as well. Pooh, gone. Now, the maiden was all alone in the wild forest. And when she looked around, the old woman was standing near her and said, my child. I can only assume that's what she sounds like. All old ladies in these fairy tales, you know, sound like that. They're like, I'm a crazy lady. Anyway. My child, what have you done? Why didn't you leave those 12 white flowers alone?
They were your brothers, and you've changed them into ravens forever.
Is there no way to save them? The maiden asked, as she wept.
No, the old woman said. That is, there's only one way in the entire world, but it's so hard you won't be able to free them. You see, you would have to remain silent for 7 years and neither speak nor laugh.
I'm not sure what there's to laugh at, because all of this is pretty sad, but, you know, the talking thing, yeah, I get, it'd be pretty hard.
If you utter but a single word, and there is just an hour to go in the 7 years, everything will be in vain, and your brothers will be killed by that one word.
I'm starting to sound like the Emperor from Star Wars. My old lady sounds like the Emperor.
Infinite power! Strike him down, Skywalker.
Anyway. I know for sure, the maiden spoke with her whole heart, that I shall save my brothers. All right, tall task. She went and searched for a tall tree. Again with the trees. After climbing it, she sat down and began spinning and did not say a word or laugh. Now it so happened that a king was hunting in the forest. She had a big gray hound that ran up to the tree where the maiden was sitting. The dog began jumping around, yelping and barking at her. The king then went over to the tree and saw the beautiful princess with the gold star on her forehead. He was so enraptured by her beauty that he called up to her and asked her if she would be his wife. How does that make any sense? First off, this dude has 12 sons, and then he's going to have a daughter, and he says, I'm going to kill the guys if I have a daughter. And then he has the daughter. She grows up. She's growing up. She can walk and do things by herself. And he's not around to see her. Like, how does he not know it's his daughter? Does he not look at her? Does he never meet his own daughter? Oh, what a terrible dad and husband and king. What a terrible person this. Oh boy. She did not respond, but nodded a little with her head. Oh God, seriously. Then he climbed up the tree himself. Of course, he can't just wait for her to come down. Carried her down, put her on his horse, and took her home. God, that's just so creepy. The wedding was celebrated with great splendor and joy, but the bride did not speak or laugh. I mean, she could just shake her head no. You're right. Do you not know how to write? Put your hand in front of his face? Maybe just walk away? Oh. It's so depressing. After they lived together for a few years, it went on for years, the king's mother, who was an evil woman, began to slander the young queen and said to the king, "The maiden you brought home with you is nothing but a common beggar girl." So now this queen's evil? Wait, is this a different queen and a different king? I gotta go back. Hold on here. Yeah, it's a different king. I think this is a different king. Oh man, they did not explain that well. So now there's a different kingdom. That is really, so in a day, you can get to another kingdom. Like, there's just castles left and right here. Okay. So after they lived together for a few years, the king's mother, who was an evil woman, naturally, because all stepmoms are evil, apparently, in fairy tales. Have you ever not, is there in one fairy tale a mother figure that isn't evil? Like some stepmother that's just nice? Oh, man. "The maiden you brought home with you is nothing but a common beggar girl. Who knows what godless mischief she's been secretly plotting? If she's mute and can't talk, she could at least laugh every now and then." Whoa, wait a... Yeah. "Anyone who doesn't laugh must have a bad conscience." That's a broad stroke.
At first, the king did not want to believe this. Yeah, naturally. But the old woman kept at it so long and accused the maiden of so many wicked things that the king finally let himself be convinced and sentenced. Oh, boy. Oh, this is going to get dark, folks. The king finally let himself be convinced and sentenced her to death. Way to have a backbone. I mean, also, this guy literally took no consent whatsoever, so he has no problem just killing anybody willingly. These kings are terrible. A huge fire was made in the courtyard, and the young queen was to be burned in it. The king stood upstairs at a window and watched everything with tears in his eyes. Oh, at least he shed a tear. Oh, poor baby. It must be so hard for him. Oh, my poor lady is burning. Maybe don't do it then. You've got that power. Watched everything with tears in his eyes since he still loved her. Loved her not enough. Not enough. Clearly. That's not love. FYI. When she was already bound to the stake and the fire was licking her clothes with its red tongues, the last second of the 7 years expired. Suddenly, a whirring noise could be heard in the air, and 12 ravens came flying towards the yard and swooped down. Then, just as they touched the ground, they turned into her 12 brothers, whom she had saved. They tore apart the fire, put out the flames, freed their dear sister, and hugged and kissed her. You know, like siblings, like normal, not, you know, the hanky-panky way. Now that she was allowed to open her mouth and talk, she told the king why she had been silent and had never laughed. The king was glad to hear she was innocent, and they all lived together in harmony until their death. What? She goes, oh, I'm so sorry that I didn't talk. He's like, I forgive you. Anyway, let's just ignore the fact that I was going to burn you to death. Please don't hold a grudge on that one. And then she doesn't. Ugh. Oh, boy. I hope his death was terrible. Anyway. Where were we? The evil mother was brought before the court and put into a barrel that was filled with boiling oil and poisonous snakes. Indeed, she died a horrible death. Well, I guess the moral of the story is, what can you talk about in this one, hey? What is going on with this story? I mean, there's several versions of this tale out there. There's a few where she has to sew a bunch of things together and not cry out in pain. There's a few other sort of versions like that where there's like a witch that comes forward, or, you know, a magical troll or something, and says to her, like, if you do this, you'll die, and you can't do this. And then it just keeps happening. There's more. These journeys where she has to go through these trials over and over and over again. And she does. By the end, she does. And then, of course, the mom, several times, the stepmother, dies horribly, horribly in these tales. And some of them, they're cannibalistic, and some of them are, Anyway, I'm not even sure what the moral of this story is. The moral is, ignore this story. Don't think you're better than somebody else, and that you can just walk into a room and dictate what somebody can and cannot do, and ask for consent. Come on. Just the worst.